Harvest of Swords by Nicholas Carter and read by Paul McLaughlin for Saga Egmont. Prologue. It is impossible to avoid the doing of very unhandsome things in war. John Evelyn, diarist. By Orford Ness, off the Suffolk coast. The pock-sorry tub was wallowing like a harpooned whale in the rip, laden to the gunwales with God knew what, a cargo of bloody lead by the look of it. Terence Gable, master of the Blue Doubloon, lowered the perspective glass from his right eye, grinned at the bullfrog-throated mate waiting patiently beside him.
Bastard might just as well plough with dogs as escape us in that pickle barrow,
the swarthy captain chuckled. Matthias Gent, his vastly experienced mate, nodded his broad, shaven head in agreement with the chief's assessment. The Blue Doubloon was coming in on the starboard tack with the merchantman 1 point off the bow, an easily plotted interception course. A child could have worked out that their lumbering quarry was doomed. The overladen vessel was already taking a risk, hugging a leeward shore like that. The captain must have been in a mighty hurry to attempt the dash down the channel in broad daylight, at the mercy of the Dunkirk pirates who roamed the North Sea. They were King Charles's unofficial navy, but no less effective for that. The smaller, swifter privateers took a grievous toll of parliamentarian merchant shipping passing up and down the long, exposed coastline of Norfolk and Suffolk, fat prizes with jammed hulls, hurrying to feed and furnish the rebel masses in London. Gable had chosen his hunting ground well. He knew the tides and currents, carried a map of the complex offshore sandbars in his head. The long headland of Orford Ness was a favourite ambush point. An endless sweep of almost featureless coastline, mile upon mile of reeds and sedge reclaimed from the sea, stretching away in a tedious grey belt towards Felixstowe. If he was spotted, the merchantman might try and duck into the narrow network of channels and creeks behind the exposed spit of Hollisley Bay, but the doubloon drew less water, and the dog would run aground before he had gone a mile.
"Well, put a shot across the bows and put a crew aboard. You can sail her back to Dunkirk for me, how's that?"
Gable asked, slapping the mate across the broad, salt-stained back of his sea coat. Gent grunted approval, peered over his shoulder as the crew hurried to their posts. They had put on every scrap of sail they could in the wind, and the gunners were already busy about their cannon. A dozen demi-culverins on the top deck, 4 sakers on the quarter-deck, 10 culverins on the lower deck, and a pair of sakers on the poop. More than enough to play pat a cake with a wallowing piss-pot like this one. Gable raised his glass, noting with satisfaction they had already closed in on the panic-stricken merchant ship. He could see the crew scrambling over the deck, wrestling with what looked like crates of chickens. The captain's dark lips pulled away from his tallow-coloured teeth in a rictus of delight. Chickens! He swung the glass around and saw a couple of their men trying to manoeuvre a small swivel gun in the bows. One little pea-shooter against a 14-gun broadside. They'd strike their colours before they dared open fire.
"Hold up steady, Mr. Gench." "Oi, sir."
The Blue Doubloon seemed to skim the waves, the wind blowing strongly in her mast sails, in clear contrast to the badly laden merchant vessel, which pitched and rolled alarmingly in the lively swell. The damned amateurs must have misloaded the cargo, spooled any natural balance the old tub might have possessed. Gable grinned, watched the crew throwing baskets of flapping chickens overboard. What difference were a few fowls going to make? The bastards must have been pitching their britches in fright, showing about as much sense as their unfortunate cargo. More and more baskets were thrown overboard or tossed aside in a squall of white feathers. The men on the swivel gun had dashed back amidships, clearly abandoning any idea of opening an artillery duel they were in no position to win. Gable swung the glass back to the chaos on her deck, and his smile slipped away from his skull in disbelief. He was staring down the grim black barrels of a pair of vast guns, demi-cannon at the least, being hauled around by dozens of what looked horribly like highly experienced gunners. Where the devil had they come from? Even as he watched, the merchantman's hull winked and blinked as half a dozen gunports, previously hidden by carelessly hung rigging, were thrown open. No bloody wonder the bastard had been wallowing. It was carrying as much iron as a first-rate.
"All hands to go about,"
he croaked.
"Go about! That's no bastard merchantman!"
Gent turned and barked the order to the helmsman, but Gable knew full well there was no hope of avoiding the treacherous beast. They were too close now, and he was outgunned.
"Give them everything or they'll blow us out of the water!"